time for another WNST Baltimore Sports News Update. Here's Luke Jones.
Brandon Hyde met with the media as the Orioles concluded their 2024 season.
I mean, yes and no. For me, I think successful to get into the playoffs, successful from the a lot of the adversity that we faced the second half and still got the number one wild card seed, you know, host two home playoff games. So that was a success. You're always trying to get to the – when you go to spring training, you want to try to win the division. You want to try to get to the playoffs. We got to the playoffs. Unsuccessful that we didn't – we had higher expectations than winning, not winning a game in the playoffs this year. So that's disappointing.
What do you think was missing in those two games? What did you see that was missing?
Well, I thought we pitched really well. Pitched, played great defense. You know, we lost 1-0 and 2-1. So got two good starts. You know, Burnsy was incredible game one. F did his job in going four really good innings for us, and then when in a must-win game, you had to kind of piece it together from a bullpen matchup standpoint. We only gave up one run the rest of the way. We just didn't get it, the big hit, and you score one run in two games. It's kind of tough to win.
When you were evaluating that offense, it seems like it wasn't efficient. What factor into that? I mean, obviously, the injuries are part of it.
Yeah, I think second half. You know, first half we were, you know, top of the game, top of the league in most offensive categories and runs scored, OPS, you know, generating runs. And the second half, I think, you know, injuries coupled with some guys having some disappointing second halves, going through some struggles, it was a lot more of a challenge to score runs. And we relied on the homer, which when you're facing really good pitching, that's tough to do. So I thought, you know, going this last week, I thought kind of our offense was back a little bit. I thought guys were starting to swing the bat a little bit better. Westberg's a huge part of our offense. He's back in the middle. Urias was swinging the bat so well. Him coming back, Mountie's a huge threat and a good hitter. And I thought we were taking really good at-bats on that trip, and I was hoping that would carry into – I felt like we were kind of back to what we were in the first half, and it just didn't show up in the – in the wild card.
Brandon, Mike kind of said, we can't just shrug this off and pretend everything's okay. We really do need to take a hard look at everything. Are you kind of looking at it the same way going into the...
Yeah, I mean, this is still fresh. I mean, I wasn't in this room that long ago. Yeah, I think the season ends not the way you want it to, I think or even when it does, you have to evaluate after the year. And I'm going to work closely with Mike this offseason, and we're going to look into everything, and you know, I enjoy that relationship very much, and he's, you know, I think we're going to take a long, hard look at this year.
Is your team's getting approach one of those things that second half can go the way that you wanted offensively? Is there anything underlying with the approach, with the mindset of your hitters that you guys can maybe get a look at this offseason?
Well, it's the same, pretty much the same group that scored a ton of runs in the first half. And, you know, for whatever reason, I thought we had, you know, injuries. I'm going to keep bringing that up. That isn't an excuse, however, from a season standpoint, because other teams go through injuries also. And, you know, we won 101 games last year. There was a lot of injuries in our division. And this year it felt like we had our share. But I thought we overcame them as well as we possibly can. You win 91 games with all the stuff that happened. You know, we're playing a lot of young guys. Sometimes we're playing, you know, we try to play platoon advantage as well as we possibly can, but we're at disadvantages on some nights. And to still win 91 games, you know, I'm proud of that. Is there things to look into? Absolutely. Do we need to score more runs? Do we need to generate more offense second half? Absolutely.
Thing is maybe platooning too much at times. Like, did you feel like that, even in that philosophy, that could be looked at?
I guess I need a better, some more, like, example.
I guess for for guys like Kjærstad the first time that he was up here. It was a more of a matchup based situation.
Correct.
Guys like him, and I know Jackson had to play a lot of times out of necessity, but it felt like more times the matchup was put ahead of, not saying it is wrong, but just matchup was put ahead of maybe giving these guys opportunity.
Yeah, kind of tough. You know, you're going to have the rookie of the year in left field. You got Cedric Mullins, who's above average center fielder and playing really well. And then you had Santander with 44 homers in right. And then you got Mountie and O'Hearn as kind of this DH first base situation. Sometimes the opportunity's not there, and you got to take advantage of it when it does come. And so you do look for times to get them in the lineup or to get them at bats. And I felt like I tried to do the best I can. Kjærstad's example was, you know, unfortunately he got hit in the helmet. And he was swinging the bat really well at that time. I think the opportunity was going to increase during that time, and then he had, you know, he had the concussion. So that's the Kjærstad example.
Wait, Brandon, just to follow up on that real quick. You know, lefty, righty, righty, lefty. When you have those, there are reverse split guys.
Correct.
Fans ask about this a lot because you guys tend to really just rely on the typical platoon advantage.
Yeah.
How much do you put into that? How much do you look at that? How much does that factor when you're making those daily, you know, either lineup decisions or even late inning bullpen decisions?
Yeah, definitely factor into it. For example, Reagan's, right? So I hadn't started set against a whole lot of left-handers in the second half and wanted to give him that start because of the reverse as well as the defense at center field. So I think we look at everything, honestly. There's a lot of projected stats that we get. There's a lot of, you know, I get a lot of information, and I do the best I can with the information given to me.
Brandon, tell me about three players as you saw them this year. Mayo, Holiday, and Povich. How did you assess their season?
Yeah, I'll start. Povich, really impressed with how he finished. I'm really excited about him. I was watching, I don't want to put this on him, but I was watching Max Fried last night, and you see a lot of similarities. You know, you hope that's you can be scratch that surface of being someone like that. Because when he was throwing 96 in Minnesota with the breaking ball and the changeup, lefty, long, there's a lot to like. So how he finished the season, you know, he was an option. I pitched Dean there yesterday for some reason. Povich is going to start game three. So, you know, we felt highly enough about him that add him to the playoff roster, and he was potentially going to pitch in some games. So excited about him. Jackson's 20 years old, and Kobe's young too. And in this age of pitching, which you just saw the last 2 days, what we've faced, it's extremely hard to hit. And you're more times than not going to have you're going to have to make some adjustments. You're going to have to see what it's like first. It's nothing close to AAA pitching. So when you're young and haven't seen the velocity, the movement, the bullpen arms that are coming at you, it's going to make it challenging at first. Sometimes you have to go through. That's why it's easier when you're in a rebuild situation or expected not to win to be a young player and fill right in. When you're on a team expected to win and the fans think you're supposed to win and supposed to hit at the same time, it's not easy. And both these guys are going to be really good major league players. They got their feet wet a little bit in the big leagues, but they have huge ceilings, and they're really talented. And just got to be a little bit patient.
Brandon, obviously one of the issues in the postseason, but also in the regular season, some of the Rangers hitting with runners in scoring position. Even when you guys were producing runs at the beginning of the year, you're sort of, I think, around league average. What did you see from the approach from your hitters this year, and was that something that you found particularly difficult to manage, or is it something that felt a little bit out of your control?
Well, when you win, normally you're hitting well with runners in scoring position. When you're not, you're not. And I think that there's like it's a real broad answer, and there's so many things come into play. Experience, confidence, being able to stay on the baseball, being able to make the moment not too big, not be frustrated, not try to do too much, understand what the pitcher's trying to do to you, experience, all these type of things come into play. And it's also my experience in 13 or 14, whatever, I'm 13 years in the big leagues, 14 years in the big leagues, it's also contagious. So you see how like Ben Zobrist in Chicago changed our entire lineup. 36 years old, switch hit the ball all over the place, walk. Joe hit him fourth around these young guys because there was going to be an at-bat in there or two a game where you knew that Zoe was going to take a great at-bat with runner scoring position. It changed our entire lineup. Those type of things. That's just experience and confidence of being in there in that moment. And a lot of times with our guys, you try to slow the game down for them, but it's tough in the batter's box in front of 45,000 people when the game's on the line or you're trying to get the big hit for your team. And I think that our guys are going to improve just from the experiences that they had. No, I don't want to compare Adley, but Ben Zobrist was in his mid-30s, and that's just an example of, for me, how a guy that was able to slow the game down from previous experiences and be able to use the whole field. Adley is going to be a really good player. Had a tough second half. Dealing with adversity really for the first time, and probably pressing, probably trying to do too much, probably trying to be the all-star player that he was in the first half. And, I think he's going to have a great year next year.
I know every situation is unique, but when you look around the league at San Diego, Milwaukee, Kansas City, they have 20, 21-year-olds who have the same major league experience.
Right.
Guys who stepped up in the playoffs. Is there anything that you think you guys need to do in the future to kind of lessen that transition period for some of your young stars coming up?
I don't think so. I think that our process is good. I think that we're going to look at it. I think we're going to evaluate a lot of things this offseason. Me and Mike are going to work closely on that. But we have a lot big belief. We believe in our young players, and they're going to. We're really talented. They've shown, especially in the first half, we've scored a ton of runs. And we were, I think, averaging more than anybody in the league. In the second half, I think Westberg was a big part of that, honestly. Missing Westberg and Urias and Mountie, we struggled a little bit. There was some right-handed thump that with guys that hit the ball the opposite field, were able to stay on sliders, be able to use the right center field gap that we missed for a while. I have no idea at this point, but what an incredible story for us this year. What a great guy. He might have been pitching in, if we win that series at Kansas City, he might have been pitching in New York, never know. But, I hope it's with us. I hope it's for the best. He's been amazing for us. I'm on the Cowser Rookie of the Year bandwagon. I hope that he's had an incredible rookie year to hit 24 homers, to play the defense he's played. Like I said the other day, the number one thing for me with Colton was the confidence level. The confidence last year, I think they beat him up a little bit. I thought defensively he played a little cautious. And then once he just kind of got some experience and got comfortable up here, you saw the defense really, really improve. The throwing improved, just his routes and how he'd be able to communicate with Sed next to him, or when he played center, communicate with the corner outfielders. It was spectacular. And then offensively, I think he had his ups and downs. But he ended the year with 7 plus 50, whatever it was, OPS, 24 homers. In his first full season, it's a heck of a year. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. With the rash of pitching injuries we had, with bullpen kind of in flux, with Craig with the first half he had, and then the second half we had going in a different direction, and us having to kind of piece things together on a nightly basis without set roles, losing a lot of our rotation. I thought they just did a great, great job. And It was fun working with him this year.
Brandon, the last couple of years, wow. Felix Batista.
That really hit the spot.
Felix Batista has been arguably the best closer in baseball. How challenging was it to manage the back end of these games without him?
Well, it's a lot easier to manage it with him. yeah, I mean, how many games did Felix win for us last year? You know, so I'm happy he's going to be back next year.
Brandon, I know some of these things are cyclical, but when you have a lot of young hitters in your lineup that don't really put it together in the postseason, people kind of wonder, okay, is there more veteran presence needed, more experience? And you guys did have some veterans on the pitching staff, which did well. You've been in a lot of clubhouses. Are you talking to Mike about the sort of personalities, the sort of veterans that you know, might help some of the young guys who really do produce for you in other times of the year to kind of break through?
Yeah, we're going to look into all that this offseason. I mean, you know, we just ended yesterday. I think we'll start meeting probably later today and start evaluating and going through our roster. We talk about our roster every single day. But now it's the off season, and we're gonna kind of more deep dive into how we feel like we can be better for next year.
Did you feel like something was missing there?
Not really. I thought, like I said, that last week when we kind of had our club back, it was the same club really we had the first half. I felt like we were kind of primed to make a run, and. We got beat. We scored one run, two games.
Brandon, a player that ended the season as a total afterthought is Trevor Rogers. When you look ahead to next spring, where do you see him fitting in?
I think it's a big offseason for him. I know there's going to be plans in place. I know that, you know, we saw Trevor a few years ago in Miami. It looked like what we saw the first night here in the Wild. It was 97, 98. Really, really good stuff. And so we know what's in there. And our guys are going to be diving in with, and they already have, diving in within this off season. We're excited about the upside of Trevor and try to get him back to that all-star form he was.
Brandon, Mike came out right away and said you'd be back next year. What does that immediate vote of confidence mean to you? And has this year challenged you to do any kind of introspection about yourself as a manager and your tactics?
Well, I always do. I do on a nightly basis. So whether things work out nightly or don't work out, I mean, I'm the toughest on myself, to be honest with you, because I know what the process I've gone through from the thinking standpoint and what, you know, I dive in, I watch the game, I go through stuff that, and self-reflect a little bit. So that's the definite yes for that part of the answer. The second is, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, this is, I love this organization. I love working with Mike. I love our players. It was, you know, heartbreaking last night to say goodbye to a lot of guys and, you know, I'm looking forward. I'm going to have a cup of coffee and relax for a little bit, and I'm looking forward to next year.
How important was Anthony Santander to this team? How difficult?
Well, you take away 44 homers. That's a big deal, especially how we stayed healthy all year, too. I think that we did. I thought he did an amazing job of, you know, he's been battling. He's had that ankle and some other things that I'd have to rest him quite a bit, or I tried to. Try to manage it, his playing time with him as much as I possibly could because I wanted him in the lineup. And he played right field a ton this year and played it so well. So I was really impressed with how he could post, how he prepared, played defense, and then hit 44 homers for us with 100 RBIs. That's a heck of a year. So I'm really happy for Anthony. He's somebody that we care deeply about and somebody that was – in my first spring training in 2019 and saw him switch hit right away. And I didn't no idea who he was. And you know, it's been a fun ride with him.
Brandon, Jackson Holliday late in the year seemed to have some at-bats where he did not have the big late game. Is that an adjustment he made, the organization?
Good scouting, Steve. Good scouting.
Tweet I saw from Jacob.
Oh, wow. Well, he's an excellent scout.
He's my part-time scout.
He can evaluate.
He's still scouting. Exactly. So going
yeah.
forward, is that up for discussion, whether he keeps that late kick, or what are your thoughts?
I talked to Jackson. It was in Minnesota. I really liked his swing a lot. I thought it was way simpler. He was getting his foot down early. He was able to be on time with the fastball a little bit more, especially the elevated fastball. And so he took 97 with ride off the left field wall there in Minnesota when he got his foot down early and just had less movement, less things going on with his swing. That's something that he's been working with the hitting guys here for a couple of weeks, and I think you're going to see it. I'm sure they're going to be tinkering with things this offseason as well, but I really like that adjustment that he made.
Was he kind of encouraged to give that a shot?
He loved it, yeah. I didn't say anything at first. I knew that they were doing stuff with him, and I knew that he was open to it. I wanted to make sure I followed up after I saw a couple of bats of just how he was able to get his foot down in time, and the swing was a lot shorter, and he was, his eyes were wide open. He loved how it felt.
If this was the only season Corbin Burns spends in Baltimore, what were your takeaways from his time here? What kind of mark does he leave that could, feel?
I think he put an exclamation point on that with that last game he just threw. The first game of the wild card, that was an absolutely dominating start. Just made one pitch that was a little bit too much part of the plate. And besides that, he's going to go back out for that ninth inning regardless. And regardless if we scored, unless we had a huge, I had Sir Anthony up in case, I was hoping we scored like five, but we didn't. But he was going to go back out for that ninth inning regardless if we took the lead or not, because he wanted it. And it just showed the bulldog that he is. And what he did for our team was, he had whatever he finishes in the Cy Young race, he had a Cy Young year for us, just a true number one that had a lot of really, really good starts.
Brandon, when there is offensive slumps, around, there's obviously external noise around hitting coaches. How do you think that group did with managing, obviously, some team-wide slumps, but seems like the players...
Yeah, hitting coach is a tough job. Because you're never going to have 13 or whatever guys going at the same time. You're going to have... three guys going, you're going to have three guys struggling, and you're going to have six guys kind of in between. And it changes on every 3 or 4 days. So it's a really, really tough job. Hitting is so hard to do. I think our guys do an amazing job of preparing our guys. I think that they're unbelievably likable. Our guys love to hit with them in the cage. They're incredibly prepared. They're unbelievably positive. And they're living and dying with every single one of our guys at bats. And I think that's all you can ask for.